for me.
How long have you been writing this stuff?
I think for them probably about 2 years. Or maybe a little over a year, I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I can completely relate. My father, who was a Marine officer, pilot, his best friend, who they flew together in the Marines, when he retired from the Marines, he became a editor for a group of publications with the esoteric and scintillating titles of Distributed Energy and Municipal Solid Waste Management and such titles. And so after I ran for mayor of my city, Allentown, and lost by 46 votes, John called me and said, I have just the thing for you to transition. So I started writing for him. So in that guise, what I was doing is speaking to a lot of municipal managers throughout the country, Ellen.
Yeah.
And really focusing on best practices, you know, whether it's insurance or risk management or, compliance to clean water, you know, requirements. You know, all those kinds of things.
Well, that's a lot of what I do with my my association is we do a lot of best practices, and we also represent them on Capitol Hill, but we, that's what we do as an association as well.
Neat. Well, I'm very attracted to all of that. I think if my DNA were a little different, I'd be an engineer or scientist, I think. So.
Yeah, I think if my DNA were different, particularly gender-wise, I'd be a carpenter, but aside from that... No, nobody encouraged me in that direction when I was a little girl, but in any event.
That's great.
I have...
Go ahead. No, you first. Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to ask you some questions about you that we can write something up for The Voice. And let's start with all the things you've done in your life. I have seen from the materials I've read that you're a businesswoman, you've been a civic leader for a long time, you ran a nonprofit, you're a mother and a wife, and why now have you decided to run for Congress?
Well, I think my involvement with politics has been my growing awareness that there are problems that can only be answered or can be best answered legislatively. And my deep involvement in my community, Allentown, in my region, particularly in the area, Ellen, of community and economic revitalization, really is what led me to run for mayor. Because it was clear to me that in that executive position, I would have the most impact in helping our city, the third largest city in the state of Pennsylvania, revitalize itself. And in that race, I only lost by 46 votes and have continued my work in that area through my nonprofit, Properties of Merit, assisting that community and others to revitalize. And then when we moved one step up, it became clear to me that for our region and our state, and quite frankly our nation, to move forward in some important ways, running for U.S. Congress would be the best way to affect that. And maybe most powerfully for me, there's a family story behind my deep commitment for running for U.S. Congress. My stepfather, Mike, grew up in Germany, and his father, my step-grandfather, was the leader of the Hamburg resistance movement during World War II and was guillotined by the Hitler regime. And so my stepfather was in labor camp, and my his mother died in labor camp. And so we have a very powerful experience as a family of going to Germany on a periodic basis to see these memorials. There's a memorial in Hamburg, Germany, Ellen, to his father, and one to his mother, recognizing their work in the resistance movement. And it's very clear to me that we have to be so careful to protect our constitutional rights and not find ourselves on a slippery slope. And I'm very, very concerned that that's exactly where our nation is right now.
Well,
and it's one of my primary reasons I'm running for Congress.
Well, that's very interesting history. Let me take my questions a little out of order then, and I was going to come to this later, but let's talk about the constitutional issues a little bit. this administration, the President Bush and some before him, have talked a lot about providing funds to faith-based organizations and to affiliating federal services with church services, some of which, you know, is they provide very good services, some not so good services. They're community-based, locally run services, and that's always good in neighborhoods. But what is your feeling about the federal taxpayer dollar support of religious organizations, not necessarily religiously affiliated, like Catholic Charities or the Jewish Federations, which provide really non-denominational social services, but to providing direct support to religious organizations and in general to the breakdown of the wall between the separation of church and state?
And you just hit on it. I think this administration has been, all too disrespectful of our Constitution and the founding principles this nation was created around. And one of those key founding principles, is the separation of church and state. And so I find it completely unacceptable for there to be actions such as you described that blur or outright disrespect that founding principle our nation was founded on. And to take that one step further, I mean, I come from a military family, Ellen, and
we'll come to that too.
Yeah, and I take extremely seriously the global threat of terrorism that, you know, in everyone's mind, you know, is clearly one of the big national defense issues that all nations need to be paying attention to and are paying attention to. But I'm a deep believer that we have to protect, that we can and have to protect our Constitution. At the same time, we're very vigorously fighting terrorism. And I've spent a lot of time researching and educating myself on the facts of terrorism and on the facts of national defense, maybe most particularly because in my district, Ellen, is a very vibrant and ancestral Jewish community that my family and I are deeply involved in. And so clearly the defense of Israel is tantamount importance not only to me personally, but to my district.
Yes.
And so to be a responsible candidate beyond even my own personal feelings, I have to be very firm and very well informed. And so when we're talking about the Constitution and we're talking about civil liberty, my concern is not anything other than a deep concern that we have to find the mechanisms to fight terrorism while also upholding our Constitution at the same time.
And what actions do you think have been going in the opposite direction than that?
I think the current FISA legislation is a perfect example. The surveillance that is being conducted is not international surveillance, it's domestic surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely unacceptable. Do we have to take terrorism extremely seriously? Do we have to be outrageously proactive? Yes, that's how you fight terrorism. And I'm very, very impressed with the fact that despite some of the missteps in Iraq, our armed forces have really reinvented themselves, Ellen, into a superb counterinsurgency force, which is what's necessary. And quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot that has been learned from experts in this area from countries such as Israel. That being said, the current FISA legislation is completely unacceptable.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to ask you, you said that you come from a family of veterans, and I believe you've also served in the ROTC, is that right?
Yeah, when I was in college in my freshman year, I attended, I was a Regents Scholar, and in New York, if you're a Regents Scholar, you could attend any of the state universities tuition-free. And so I attended Potsdam in upstate New York, and they had a terrific ROTC unit there, the Clarkston ROTC unit, and I served my freshman year and was very proud to have attained Ranger status.
Wow.
And that was really a way for me, Ellen, to determine if the military was going to be my future path, as it was for my father and my uncle. who both served with, had very distinguished careers. Go ahead.
Clearly, you took a different path.
Yes, I did. But
how do you think that experience and coming from a family of military people has shaped your thinking about both national security and the way we treat veterans in this country?
Well, I think national security, and let me add, I also grew up all over the world. I actually lived in Saigon, Vietnam during the war.
Oh, my goodness.
My stepfather ran a plastic surgery unit for war-injured children, a very famous unit called the Barsky Unit, that treated war-injured children on both sides of the conflict.
Wow.
And so it is that living abroad experience, plus my military family experience, which has really focused me on the imperative of we have to have a national position that is strong on national defense, but also strong on diplomacy and foreign policy. And it's got to be, these two have to work in tandem, must work in tandem. And that's a real failure of the what I like to call the Dent Bush administration.
Okay.
Dent has repeatedly, 100%, supported George Bush on these terribly failed policies that have taken our nation in a very bad direction. And I think it's so important to protect and respect Israel's right to exist and defend itself. We have to take these issues of the Middle East so seriously, but we have to do it in a tough but smart way, not in this reckless, out-of-touch way. And that's been going on under this administration. So I'm a strong believer in a strong standing army, and that's the first mandate of Congress.
Right.
You know, is for a strong national defense.
Do you think the war in Iraq has made the U.S. stronger, and do you think it's improved security for Israel in the Middle East?
I think overall the answer is no. However, we do need to be engaged in the Middle East. Particularly, we have to take the Afghanistan and Pakistan border situation very seriously. We have to take the Iranian situation very seriously. We have to do everything we can through strong-armed diplomacy to prevent a nuclear-armed Iran. You know, we need to hold Iran's leadership accountable. You know, we have to tighten sanctions on foreign companies that invest in Iran's energy sector. We got to crack down on banks and companies and other investment vehicles that do business with them or invest, you know, in their infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to withdraw from Iraq in a very responsible way, in a very considered way.
You wrote a book about that.
Yes, I did.
Or at least you co-authored it with a number of other candidates and some military people.
That's correct. There were 10 of us that wrote this paper, and then what we did is we presented it to the other challengers nationally. 53 other challengers signed on to this.
And what are the key elements? Can you just review the key elements of your plan?
Yeah, basically the most important feature of it is it's basically bringing together 17 pieces of existing and co-sponsor bills that, if passed in concert with each other,
mm-hmm.
would represent the kind of comprehensive and sweeping approach to the Iraqi withdrawal that we need, including a restructuring of FISA, the Patriot Act, and a re-engagement and more significant investments in foreign diplomacy and foreign aid. So it covers the whole gamut,
okay.
And including support for our veterans, which is absolutely critical. Because, of course, the Bush administration and Dent in particular have been absolutely embarrassingly awful when it comes to supporting our veterans, and coming from a military family as I do, that's completely unacceptable.
Well, you certainly seem to have learned a lot about the subjects, and particularly the war in Iraq. Let me ask